Look back at verse number 12 where the Bible reads, "And the Lord appeared to Solomon by night and said unto him, I have heard thy prayer and have chosen this place to myself for an house of sacrifice." So the context of this chapter is kind of the dedication of the house of the Lord. David has given his son Solomon this charge to build the house of the Lord. And Solomon's completing this, and he's making this prayer, and he's basically, you know, kind of prophesying of the future. He's talking about evil that may befall the children of Israel in the future. And he's kind of giving a recipe to get people back to the Lord or to get right with God again. At this time, they are kind of at a pinnacle of being right with God. At this point in time, I mean, they have the house of the Lord built. A lot of people want to serve the Lord. They're starting off on a really good page. But Solomon is trying to warn people and trying to help people realize that if they deviate from where they're at, if they end up backsliding from the position that they're in currently, what's the remedy so as to bring things back to the Lord? And it says in verse number 13, "If I shut up heaven that there be no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, and I will forgive their sin, and will heal their land." So the Lord is talking with Solomon. We have it recorded in the Bible. He's telling him, this is your recipe for success if you turn away. And when the children of Israel turn away, God says, I'm going to do certain things to you. I'm going to afflict you so as to try and draw you back to me. Notice in verse number 13, if I, who's the I there? That's God. That's the Lord saying, shut up heaven that there be no rain. What is no rain? Basically, no rain is going to cause a crop failure. It's going to cause famine. It's going to cause them to go without. They're not going to have food. They're not going to have nourishment. It's really a detriment to their economy. I mean, basically, in a modern day vernacular, it would be just completely destroying their economy, causing all kinds of issues in their economy. And if you were to destroy a huge portion of their crops, you know what that would do? It would raise the price of all the goods that do exist, all the food that does come in, meaning you'd have hyperinflation, meaning that you'd have shortages, meaning that you would go without in all kinds of different ways. The Bible's saying that God would be the one that would do this. He says, not only that, I will command the locusts to devour the land, meaning that a pestilence or evil would come in and actually consume all the goods that you do have. The money that you do have would be taken away. The goods that you have would be destroyed. There would be all kinds of evil coming upon them and ruining them. He says also, or I send a pestilence among my people. Just literally disease, literally some kind of an affliction. And so if we were to examine the world that we live in today and ask this question, if God were mad at his people, if God were mad at people on the earth today, how would he try to wake them up? What would he do to basically try and shake them and try to get them to start paying attention to the Lord? Well, he'd affect their economy. Not only would he affect their economy, he'd bring in all kinds of evil that would destroy their goods, affect the things that they possess, ruin the stuff that they have. Not only that, bring in some kind of a disease or bring in health problems or bring in all kinds of basically sickness upon the people. Now, I wonder what that would look like today. I don't know, maybe there's a country, maybe there's an area of the world that's being affected economically or being affected with people having goods destroyed. You know, here's a way that God will destroy goods often is through hurricanes, is through earthquakes, is through just fires being rampant throughout the land, all kinds of natural disasters just causing all kinds of problems. And you know, when a natural disaster sweeps through an area, what often happens is the city or the government or local officials, they'll raise taxes, but then you never see them actually fixing any of the roads or the streets or actually investing any of that money back into the area. So it usually just looks really dirty. You know, one of the areas I feel like looks like this is Shreveport, Louisiana. You start driving around there, the roads look terrible. I mean, you know, you can tell that the government, they're not putting any money into the infrastructure. They're not putting money back into the city. You know, they're basically probably just lining their pockets. Or you look at areas like Houston. You go down into Houston, you can tell that thing's been ravaged by hurricanes. You can tell that it's had natural disasters come and sweep through, and it makes the city dirty, it makes it gross, it makes it dangerous, it causes all kinds of problems to the roadways and highways, and they keep raising the taxes, but it never seems like they fix any of those areas. Only the rich people fix their house with their insurance policy, but then when you actually go and look at all the poor areas, the roadways are a disaster. And you would think, well, why is this stuff happening? Why would God allow evil and natural disasters? And why would he let the economy fail? And why would he bring in sickness and disease and all this evil upon an area? You know why? Because he's trying to wake people up. Because he's trying to tell people, hey, you've turned away from me, you've turned away from God, and you need to humble yourself, and you need to seek the Lord, you need to pray and seek and to turn away from your wicked ways. And he says that's the remedy for getting back to success, prosperity, having the Lord. Notice as the Bible describes it, heal thy land. And today, you know, a lot of people in America, they desire for America to be better than it is now. And there's this movement that exists. It's called the MAGA movement. Make America Great Again. And you know what? That's the title of my sermon this morning, Make America Great Again. You know what? It's not, the recipe is not the MAGA movement. The recipe is not what Donald Trump is putting out there. The message is not what the Republicans are putting out there. The way to make America great again is found right here in 2 Chronicles chapter number 14, where the Bible makes it clear that we're supposed to humble ourselves, we're supposed to pray, we're supposed to seek the Lord, and we're supposed to turn from our wicked ways. If you want to make America great again, you have to make it Christian again. You want to know why America was so great for so long? Christianity. The Word of God. The Bible. That's what made America great. You know, and if it was great compared to other nations, it's only because of the Word of God. Any nation that's great, any nation that's wonderful, any nation that's prosperous, it's going to be for one reason, it's Christianity. That's the reason why anything would be great, would be wonderful. And, you know, in the world that we live in today, people are rejecting Christianity by and large. This is why America is suffering. That's why America is going through so much evil and so much pain and so much suffering. Go to Deuteronomy chapter number 8. But the first recipe was for us to humble ourselves. We need to humble ourselves. We need to realize that we need God. We need the Lord Jesus Christ. We need the King James Bible today. We don't need Donald Trump. And you know what? Christianity is what made this country start great. And if we ever want it to be great again, that's the only way to be great again, is to humble ourselves and say, we need God. Now, I'll give you some evidence of how far we've dropped, okay? And I've used this a few different times, but I have the exact reprint of the laws of Connecticut of 1673. Now, I've read through several times the capital punishment laws. And interestingly enough, it's virtually just copy and paste from the Word of God straight into their capital punishment laws, okay? You want to know why America was so great? Because we actually punished criminals. Because we actually put evil away from us among in the society. But I have another section I want to read for you this morning just to show you how much different the America you live in today is than the land back then. Here's the title, Laws Concerning Heretics. Heretics. This court, being sensible of the danger persons are in being poisoned in their judgments and principles by heretics, whether Quakers, ranters, Adamites, or such like. So it starts off and says, we realize that our nation could be poisoned and destroyed. The judges, the leaders of our country could be destroyed by false doctrine, by heretics. And then it even names the names, the Quakers, the ranters, the Adamites. You say, what are the Quakers? Woo! They're filling the Spirit today. We're going to have the Spirit come in the Bible. That's their Quakers today. Your modern Pentecostal movement, they're just the ancestors of your Quakers today. Heretics. The ranters. Ranters were known for being completely lawless. Just the most lascivious group of people. In fact, also Quakers, there was a group of Quakers that were non-theist. Non-theist means they don't believe God exists. There was literally subsections of Quakers that don't even believe in a God. They just believe in spirituality. And they're saying these people are heretics. The Adamites, this group is the weirdest cult ever. Adamites, religious services, no one was allowed to wear clothes. They're going back to the Garden of Eden. And in fact, they don't believe that marriage is a biblical institution. So everybody could just do whatever they wanted. Talk about a weird cult. Yeah, I want some laws on the books against those groups. Praise the Lord that they had some laws saying these people, you know, are freaks. Let me read a little bit more. Do see cause to order that no persons in this colony shall give any unnecessary entertainment unto any Quaker, ranter, Adamite, or other notorious heretic upon penalty of £5 for every such person's entertainment to be paid by him that shall so entertain them. And £5 per week shall be paid by each town that shall suffer their entertainment as aforesaid. Meaning if you allowed them to come in and preach in your area, if anybody came and gave them any money or any kind of just financial money, they would be fined. They'd be punished for helping these people, for giving them money, for entertaining them. It is also ordered by the authority of this court that it shall be in the power of the governor, deputy governor, or assistants to order that all such heretics, as aforesaid, be committed to prison or sent out of this colony, and no person shall unnecessarily fall into discourse with any such heretic upon the penalty of 20 shillings. Meaning just talking to a heretic, you would get penalized. Just talking to them. And they said, these people need to be thrown in jail or thrown out of our colony. You say, why was America so much better back then? Because they didn't tolerate heretics. Because they didn't let their nation and their area and their judges get poisoned with heresy, get poisoned with false doctrine. They didn't let the Joel Osteens come into town. They said, hey, you want to go to Joel Osteen's church? You're going to be penalized. And we're going to throw him in jail, and we're going to throw him out of this colony. We're not going to just let all the heretics and freaks and weirdos. Wouldn't it be great if all the Pentecostals just had to leave? Go back to Africa, you freaks, okay? Where you get that African mix of religion. You know, they want to talk about how horrible it was that we brought people from Africa into America. But you know what? They actually got Christianity. A lot of them got saved. Why don't we give back the Pentecostalism, okay? Since we condemn slavery, which is wrong, why don't we give back Pentecostalism too? Why don't we say, hey, that was, we don't want to bring that with us. We don't want that to come into our area, into our nation. And you say, oh, you sound like a white supremacist. Look, I'm not a white supremacist. But you know why white people are superior to black people? If they're saved and the black people aren't. You know why black people are superior to white people? If they're saved and the white people aren't. Because you know what? The only thing that makes someone superior is if they're saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. And you know what? It doesn't matter what color skin you have, because God's not a respecter of persons today. But you know what? You have all these leaders in our country today saying the biggest problem is white superiority or white nationalism. But you know what it is? They're really just attacking Christianity because the majority of saved Christians in our country today are white. There I said it. But you know what? That doesn't make white people better. But you know what? It's a thinly veiled attack on Christianity, my friend. They're not attacking white people because guess what? The majority leaders of this movement are white. Have you ever noticed that? Joe Biden is white. Nancy Pelosi is white. I mean, these people are getting up and saying white people are the problem. You're white, buddy. You know why they're attacking other white people? Not because they're white, because they're Christian. What makes Joe Biden better than other white people? Nothing. Why is he attacking other white people? It's not because they're white. It's because they believe the word of God. It's because they believe the Bible. It's because they believe Christianity today. And look, it's a thinly veiled attack on Christianity. General Milley getting up and saying, oh, we need to be teaching our troops about critical race theory and white rage. Yeah, you know what? I get really angry at sin. There's my white rage for you, okay? Sorry that you're not upset about all the faggots in our nation today. Sorry that you're not upset about all the sin and debauchery and filth and evil in our nation. Sorry you don't get upset that we just go and bomb Muslims, women, and children constantly and don't care about them. Sorry you're not angry about that. And they say, oh, all this white rage. You know what? It's really just being filled with the Spirit of God and being mad at sin. Right. And where are all the black preachers getting up and saying that? Where are all the black preachers raging about all the abortion going on in this country today? Where's Al Sharpton to get up and say, hey, they're performing genocide on black children today through abortion in this country? Where is he to stand up? You know why? It's because he's a fake Christian. That's why.
Right.
And let me tell you what. There's an attack on Christianity today like never before, and everybody wants to make it about something else. Of course, the devil wants to distract you and say it's about race. It's not about race. It's about Christianity. And they want you to stop worrying about Christianity and worry about race and be like, I'm so sorry. I haven't been thinking about race enough. This is David Platt getting in front of his church, is destroying his church. I'm so sorry. I'm just so prejudiced and so racist. I don't even know it. And you guys are so racist and prejudiced. I'm just going to start assigning black pastors whether they're qualified or not. What? Now you're the racist. Why would you say, I'm going to put someone in a position of authority, I'm going to put someone as the man of God because of his skin color and not based on the content of his character? That didn't even go for your idol, Marxist Lucifer King. Sorry, Martin Luther King, for all of you that don't know who I'm talking about. I had you turn to Deuteronomy chapter 8. I'm already mad, if you don't know. And I'm not going to get any nicer. Someone needs to get mad in this country.
Yeah.
And let me say this. Someone needs to get mad at the right thing. Hey, there's a lot of people that are really angry today. But you know what? They're angry at stupid crap. Instead of arguing about critical race theory, why don't people get up and argue about Christianity and start defending the faith? And earnestly contending for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. Because there's a bunch of wicked false prophets creeping into churches today, telling everybody about racism and all this other nonsense and all this other junk, and saying, we got to make America great and make it less white. No, to make America great, we need to make it more Christian. Get the Bible in people's hearts today. And I don't care what skin color. But let me warn you today that, you know why they want to make it less white? Because they're trying to make it less Christian. Because you go and find me people from another country that love the Lord Jesus Christ that are a different skin color than white. Go find me that country. Go find me the nation of a whole bunch of saved, on fire people for God that are just black or Asian or Hispanic. Hey, let's bring in the Hispanics from Mexico. Oh, Catholicism? Let's bring in all the Asians and bring in what? Hinduism and Taoism and Buddhism and all the other weird junk. Let's bring in the Indians and the Filipinos. Look, these nations aren't Christian. Oh, let's bring in the black people from Africa. They have a fake version of Christianity. So you know why they want to make it less white? It's not that they care about skin color, my friend. Wake up! It's they want to make it less Christian today. And you know what? Who cares who is Christian or not based on their skin color? I don't care. You went, oh, you're so racist, Pastor Shelley. I'm not racist. I'm just pointing out cold, hard facts. And you know why nobody wants to say this? Because if they say it, they'll say, oh, you're racist. I'm not racist. What I am telling you is that white people are more Christian by and large. Facts. Sorry, you don't like those facts. Does that make white people better than black people? No. But you know what? Saved people are better than unsaved people all day long. All day long. And you know what? If there was a nation filled with people that are purple, okay, their skin color was purple or green. I don't care what their skin color was, and they love Jesus, I'd say bring them over. Hey, import all of them. You know, the only nations I even know of that are pseudo-Christian, that seemingly are Christian, are like the Caribbean islands. At least they like pretend to be Christian, but most of them aren't even saved. And they're all black. Hey, if they were all saved, bring them in. I want every saved person to come to this nation, every saved person to come in this country. But let me tell you some facts today. The reason why they're trying to make our country less white today is because they want to make it less Christian. That is the whole agenda. And they are using racially charged words and history and slavery to try and make you think that if you're against that for some reason, that you're a racist. You know, I'm not against the idea of us being less white because I could care less. You know what, if I could press a button and every person in my church would be black but on fire for God, I'd press it. Because I don't care. But you know what? I'm not just going to import a bunch of people based on their skin color, regardless of their religious affiliation. I want them to love God. and I'll import those people. It's pretty interesting that I'm so racist since I went to Shreveport, Louisiana, where virtually every single person I talked to yesterday was black, and all the people that I got saved were black, but I'm somehow racist now. Huh, that's interesting. You know what, they're trying to make our country less white. They don't care about that, because they're white. Most of these people are the most racist people on the planet. They're all a bunch of eugenicists today. Anyways, they hate black people. Joe Biden doesn't love black people. Joe Biden doesn't like white people. Joe Biden hates everyone. Joe Biden's trying to attack every single person. Nancy Pelosi hates every single person in this country. Our leaders today hate people. You know why? Because they hate Christianity. And they hate the gospel, and they hate the truth, and they want people to be damned and to go to hell. And they'll use any distraction that they can. Deuteronomy chapter number 8, look at verse number 2. And thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness to humble thee and to prove thee, to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldest keep his commandments or no. And he humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger and fed thee with manna, which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee know that man doth not live by bread only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. Let me give you a test on let's see how humble you are. Do you read your Bible every single day? Or when you wake up, are you thinking, what did Fox News say now? What did Donald Trump say now? What did the MyPillow guy say now? What did Alex Jones say now? You know, it's a humble person that says, you know what I need this morning? Jesus. You know what I need this morning? Leviticus. You know what I need this morning? Deuteronomy. You know what I need this morning? Isaiah. You know what I need this morning? Psalms and Proverbs and Matthew and Mark and Luke and John. I need the gospel of Jesus Christ. I need the word of God this morning. And notice that God is putting them through 40 years of intense wandering around in the wilderness. Why? Humble them. Let me ask you this question. What does God have to do to humble you? Do you want 40 years of wandering around in the wilderness? Is that what you want, to actually finally wake up and open your Bible and read the Word of God? Because you know what? God is willing to go to all manner of lengths to get you to read the Bible. And if you can't read the Bible in prosperity, you know what he's going to say? Let's take that prosperity away and see what happens. Let's take away your city. Let's take away your food. Let's take away all conveniences. Let's take everything away and say, why won't you open your Bible and look at the Word of God? You know what? The devil is good at trying to distract you with taking things away and trying to warn you and dazzle you with all kinds of shiny objects to try and get you to not look at the Bible, to not read the Word of God. But notice, we need to humble ourselves in America today. You know why our country is so screwed up? Because nobody reads the Bible. You know why they had capital law punishments from the Bible? Because people were reading the Bible. Because people actually opened the Bible today. If people would look at the Bible, if every Christian would wake up and they'd actually read Leviticus, then maybe we wouldn't sound such like a crazy cult when we actually preach what the Bible says. You know what? Our country is not humble today because they have no idea what the Bible says. And even in a church like ours, I guarantee most people in this room have not read the Bible 5 times cover to cover, 10 times cover to cover. And most people in this room, at least the adults, they're over 30, they're 20, 30, 40. I mean, can't you even just read the Bible once every year? Can't you just read the Bible once in your life? And if you go outside of these walls, it's real scary. I mean, you talk to saved people, they haven't read any of the Bible. They've only heard verses quoted to them in a sermon. That's it. They're not opening their Bible. They open a devotional which has one verse and then paragraphs of some loser heretic telling them what that verse doesn't mean. People are so ignorant of the Bible today. Yet, you know what I notice? That our country's not humble at all. Because every single door I knock on, you know what I hear when I ask, are you 100% sure if you die today you go to heaven? Yep. Do you know what the Bible says about salvation? Yep. And then you're like, okay, let me show you one verse. I didn't know that was in there. And that, and this, and that, and that. That shows me that we are not humble at all. You go to Jamaica, you go to the Bahamas, you go to Mexico, you go to other nations, and you say, hey, if you die today, you're 100% sure you go to heaven. You know what they say? No. Hey, have you seen this in the Bible? No, why don't you show me? Meaning they're much more humble people. They're not going to be so arrogant and so prideful and pretend like they know the Bible when they don't. We need a nation today to open their Bibles. And you know, everybody's freaking out because Joe Biden's like trying to force vaccines, even though he can't technically do that. I mean, he can only tell people to do it. Everyone still has their choice to do whatever they want. But everybody's freaking out in our nation today, and they're saying, oh, everything's doomed and we're destroyed or whatever. How many people thought, I need to start reading my Bible more? He's like, when are America going to stand up? When are people going to start fighting? And I'm like, when are you going to start reading your Bible? There's all these people like, when are we going to take a stand? People aren't doing anything. And I'm like, okay, well, when did you read your Bible? Oh, because you're not doing anything then. You're doing absolutely nothing. Zero. Well, I shared an article from Alex Jones. Cool. That was worthless because it got banned and censored. Go to 2 Timothy chapter 4 for a moment. Look, there is a full-scale attack in Christianity right now. The Bible says that we're at spiritual warfare. And let me tell you something. Spiritual warfare is not fought carnally. I don't know if that's a shock to you. Everybody wants us to be called to arms, and everybody wants to rise up and do something carnally. I'm telling you how to fix the problem. It's spiritual. There is a spiritual war. There's a spiritual problem in our nation today, and the way to fix it is to get people to start reading their Bible. Crack that Bible open. So many people are probably so offended that I'm going to go burn a bunch of fake Bibles in a few weeks, but they didn't even read those anyways. You didn't read the fake one anyways. Why don't you actually read the King James Bible a couple times and then get back to me? Why don't you just let me show you the difference between a few verses and then get back to me on that? They don't even know what the Bible says. They don't even care what the Bible says. And then they get offended at me burning something they didn't even read. What was the point? Did you just want it to collect dust on the shelf? Did you just want it to be a trophy that you could walk around at work and pretend like you're a Christian? Look, I've got an HIV. Hey, what Bible do you have at home? I don't know. That's what I usually hear. Isn't that what you usually hear? Hey, do you have a King James Bible? I don't know. Do you have an NIV? I have no idea. Why are you so offended that I'm going to burn it then? You don't even know what it is. Well, it has a really pretty cover. I like the color of my Bible. Who cares what the cover is? I could rip the cover off and still read this thing. Why don't you read your Bible? If you want to do something, start reading the Word of God. 2 Timothy chapter 4, look at verse 1. I charge thee before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the judge of the quick and the dead, is appearing in his kingdom. Preach the word. Be instant, in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things. Endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. You know what Christians are not doing today? They're not watching. They're not paying attention. They're asleep at the wheel. And they're just letting the media tell them the next agenda. There are so many people today, let me tell you what they do. All they do is they respond to whatever the media tells them to respond to. The media puts out their story, force vax this week. Oh man, can you believe force vax? Afghanistan. Can you believe Afghanistan? I mean, just whatever the media says this week, then you talk about it for the next week. And then the media this week, then you talk about it the next week. They know what they're doing. They're planning all of your thought life. They know every emotion that you're going to go through. And they're just distracting you, and they're lulling you to sleep, and they're just getting you to think about stupid crap that doesn't matter. Oh, it's about race. No, it's about an attack on the Word of God. No, it's about Christianity. We need to set the agenda today and not let mainstream media tell us what to think, not tell us what to get mad about. Hey, instead of getting mad about the forced vaccine, why don't you get mad at the fact that Christians aren't reading their Bible? When is the news media going to tell you that one? When is the news media going to get up and say, Christians aren't reading their Bible, you need to start getting mad at people for not reading their Bible? They're never going to tell you that. Never. They're going to tell you to get mad at everything else that doesn't matter. Look, oh, it's so terrible. You realize that Pharaoh told all of the Hebrew midwives, he told all the midwives to kill all of the children? Forced killing of the babies. I think we're pretty far from that one. And God's people had to go through that. God's people had to endure horrible affliction. I wonder if maybe they started reading their Bible and serving God way before that, maybe they wouldn't have gone through that. I mean, at what point are you going to start reading your Bible? If they start taking your children out of your arms and throwing them in the river, will you start reading the Bible then? You know, I'd like to do is I'd like all of God's people to start reading the Bible way before then. Way, 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 way before then. Instead of getting so distracted in all the other junk and garbage. 1 Corinthians 16 says, watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit ye like men, be strong. You know, there should be thousands of men fired up today to serve God. You know, everybody's like, we should be fired up. Where are all the patriots? Where are all the men? Where are all the soldiers, you know? And I'm thinking, where are all the soldiers of God? Where are all the guys looking? You know, there's all these people like, I think we're in the end times. I think this is the mark of the beast. And I'm thinking like, well, if you think that, then why aren't you joining the military? Why aren't you joining the spiritual military of God's army and getting plugged in? I mean, if you really thought, I think we only have a year left, well, then why wouldn't you serve God for that last year? You know, what kind of weird, bizarre ideologies do you have where you think it's literally the end? I mean, somebody like, this is going to be the last day of my life. Wouldn't you go soul winning that day? I mean, really? You wouldn't even have cracked the Bible open for 5 minutes on the last day of your life? You wouldn't even have prayed on the last day of your life?
This could be my last broadcast ever.
You know, this is Alex Jones' message.
This could be the last day ever. We're all going to die. You need to run for shelter.
It's like if you really thought, if you really were convinced this is your last day on earth, wouldn't you show up at church? If it was a church day? I mean, how many people would have come to church today if they actually thought this was the last day ever? Or they'd have been like, you know what, I'm going to stay home. Would you go soul winning maybe? Would you read the Bible a little bit? Would you try to do something spiritual? I mean, it's just people are going insane today and they're getting caught up in the weirdest fight. We should be ready to go to war with the devil. Isn't there 8 million people in this area? Is there really no men that want to fight the devil? Is there not a single guy in the whole world that cares about spiritual things? Or is everybody just carnal? Is everybody ready to just, we're going to overthrow the government? No, you're not. You're a bunch of weak, effeminate guys anyways. All these guys are like, I would fight the government. Okay, go do it then. Prove it. Show me. Why don't you just get a militia together? You know, I mean, if you're such a constitutionalist, you know, oh, I'm such a constitutionalist. Well, where's your militia? Because don't you have the right to have a well-regulated militia? You're telling me you're going to overthrow the government and you don't even have a militia together? Good luck, because Joe Biden says he has nukes against you, okay? I mean, the Taliban is more organized than you are. The Taliban has more guns and Black Hawk helicopters than you do. Literally. And you're going to overthrow the government? I mean, do you think the government was afraid when they gave all that military equipment to the Taliban? They weren't afraid because they know that 9/11 was an inside job. I mean, if you really thought that the terrorists could terrorize our country with box cutters, you wouldn't give them a Black Hawk helicopter. Good night. I mean, that thing could do some damage into the wrong hands. They know that they can't do anything. They know that they're the real terrorists. They know they're the real evil. And, you know, yesterday we're supposed to celebrate and never forget that thousands of people were murdered in our country. Not only that, literally millions if you count all the war that was basically as a consequence to all of that. Yet, who cares? Who's done anything about that? Who literally cares about that? Who is, you know, everybody thinks, oh, well, if we get the right politicians in charge, or if we had the right people in our government, they would right the wrongs of today. Well, let me ask you a question. Who wrote the wrongs of September 11th? And I mean, what could be more obvious than a 47-story skyscraper falling at a free fall speed that can only be matched in a vacuum experiment. I mean, there wasn't one politician getting up and making a huge deal and fixing that right or righting that wrong and allowing us to go to all kinds of war and bloodshed and evil. And they say, yeah, but we'll get Trump in office. We'll get Trump. He's got his right-hand man, Rudy Giuliani. He's standing for the Constitution. Did you know that Rudy Giuliani was the mayor of New York whenever September 11th happened? When did he write that wrong? Oh, he didn't. I forgot. I guess you forgot too. It's so stupid to think that these politicians and that the people in our country are going to do jack squat. And it's foolish if you think you're going to do jack squat carnally, because you're not. But you know what? You could make a huge impact spiritually. You could be a David spiritually. Quit fooling us into thinking that you're a David carnally, because you're not. Oh, yeah, you're going to take on Goliath. I believe you. You're just a liar. You're just deceiving your own self. Because all of us look at you and we're thinking like, you're past your prime. You look more like you're drinking a six-pack than you're going to go take on the military six, SEAL Team Six. It's ridiculous today. Go to Jeremiah 44 for a moment. I mean, I'm going to serve God. I'm going to take on the world. You know, it's funny. Even some people, they'll act like a spiritual giant. They'll be like, I'm ready to serve God. I'm ready to take on this world. And they show up at church, and I'm thinking, well, where's your family? You can't even get your wife and kids in church, yet you think you're going to lead a charge against the devil? I'm like, what? You can't even convince the woman that's supposed to submit to you to come to church, but you're going to tell me you're ready to take on the devil? You're a spiritual giant, and you can't even get a five-year-old to come to church? Wow, that's impressive, buddy. You're such a spiritual giant, and you can't even get your own butt in church? You can't even show up at the midweek service? You can't even go to Sunday night church, but you're such a spiritual giant? Look, you need to be humbled, buddy. Quit thinking so highly of yourself. It's a joke. It's a joke when people get online and they talk how big and tough and bad they are, but they can't even show up at church. Right. You're going to really take on the devil, and you can't even get your butt in church and sit down and eat a donut. Wow, that's impressive. You can't even sit there without a Bible in your hand looking at it. You know, lots of people just sit in the church service, they don't even have a Bible in their hand. They don't even look at the King James Bible when they're in church. That tells me a lot of how much you look at the Bible when you're not in church. You're mean, Pastor Shelley. Sorry, someone's got to humble God's people. And you know who humbles God's people? The Lord. The Word of God. Quit comparing yourself to the world and start comparing yourself to the Bible. And look, it's easy to read these stories and think about how stupid these people were and, oh, they didn't serve God and I can't believe they didn't trust in the Lord. And then, if we'd actually look in the mirror, we'd realize we're the same people. America's the same people. America's not interested in the things of God. Christians have stopped reading their Bible. Christians have stopped taking church so seriously. Look, church was so serious in our country in the past, no restaurants were open on Sunday. No restaurants were open on Sunday. Businesses were closed on Sunday. You could not buy alcohol on Sunday. Earlier in this country, alcohol was prohibited, period. People actually took the word of God seriously. People actually showed up at church. Back then, they would preach for 2 hours because they weren't all excited to go hear what Alex had to say later. Or go watch TV or go to the lake or do whatever. They didn't even have the money to do that. They didn't have all the luxuries of this world. You know what they said? I got the King James Bible and there's nothing better than it anyways. Someone needs to hear about Jesus more than me feeding my flesh. You know, Jeremiah is a sad book. Because you know what God does? He just constantly punishes and afflicts these people over and over and over and over. Evil, famine. They get to a point where they're eating their own children. They're eating their own children. They're boiling their children
and hot water and killing their own children and then eating it. That's how bad it got. That's how much people, but you know, instead of just reading the Bible like several chapters before and never getting there, just not going to read the Bible, not going to go to church, not going to serve the Lord, not going to go soul winning, don't care what he says. I mean, that's some serious humbling when you get to that low. Then after all of that, their nation's completely destroyed. They're completely wiped out. Then they have to be sojourners in Egypt. Everything's been destroyed. Everything's been taken away. They lost their house. They lost their kids. They lost their money. They lost their economy. They lost their American flag. Hey, they lost their national anthem. They lost everything American. They lost their CDs and their DVDs and their PlayStation. And they lost their bikes and their boats. And they lost their dream house. They lost everything. They lost their basement addition. They lost their man cave. They lost all their purses. They lost all their bonnets. They lost all the special things, the crisping pens. They lost it all. And then they were in a foreign country, they're in Egypt, and they still didn't humble themselves before God. Jeremiah 44, look at verse 7. Therefore now thus saith the Lord, the God of hosts, the God of Israel, wherefore commit ye this great evil against your souls, to cut off from you man and woman, child and suckling, out of Judah, to leave you none to remain, and that ye provoke me into wrath with the works of your hands, burning incense and other gods in the land of Egypt. Whether you be gone to dwell, you might cut yourselves off, and you might be a curse and a reproach among all the nations of the earth. Have you forgotten the wickedness of your fathers, and the wickedness of the kings of Judah, and the wickedness of their wives, and your own wickedness, and the wickedness of your wives? These wives were really wicked. Which they have committed in the land of Judah, and in the streets of Jerusalem, they are not humbled even unto this day. Neither have they feared, nor walked in my law, nor in my statutes that I set before you and before your fathers. He's saying, I took everything away from these people. I afflicted these people. I did everything I could possibly do. I was trying to wake them up. And they still wouldn't humble themselves. And people are like, oh, I could lose my job because of this forced vaccination. You don't know what God might take away from you. You're a fool if you're so afraid of your job being taken away. God's going to take away a lot more. Your house and your economy and your children and your livelihood, everything away from you until you wake up, America, and you decide to start serving God. Why can't they be humbled? Why can't America be humbled? You know, at September 11th, like for 2 days, people were like praying all of a sudden. People were like, you know what, we need to be spiritual. We need to seek the Lord. And then it wore off real quick. And people look at the stupid crap that our government is doing, the evil that's lurking around, and they're like, we need to fight them carnally. How about you get spiritual for 5 seconds? How about you start doing something spiritual with your life? What does God have to take away from you to start reading your Bible? Now, this isn't a very encouraging sermon. You're right. Not. You know what? Across this country, you know what's happening right now? Encouraging sermons are being preached all across this country. Because you know what all the false prophets did in the book of Jeremiah? They kept telling people, it's going to be okay. Trust in the Lord. He's merciful. He's kind. Just keep rejecting him. Keep rebelling. Keep being sinful. Keep watching Fox News. Don't have a King James Bible in your hand. Don't serve God. And then they just lull the people of God to sleep. They just lull Christians to worship the devil. They just lull Christians to just live in sin and fornication and wickedness and adultery and murder and abortion and all kinds of evil today, rather than telling them that they need to be humble and serving God. Where's your encouraging sermon? Well, why don't you start serving God first? You know, the Bible says, go to 1 Corinthians 15. Be not deceived, evil communications corrupt good manners. Do not think that you can turn on Fox News and it won't corrupt you. Don't think that you can't turn on all this filth on the TV, on the internet, listen to all this junk, and it's not going to affect you. You know, the human person is a sponge. You soak in everything. And if you know anything about a sponge, if you ever use a sponge, as soon as you soak in something gross, you can't get that gross thing out of it. I mean, you could sit there and squeeze it and squeeze it. You pick up some black paint or something, black paint's going to be coming out of the thing forever. I mean, you're just going to squeeze black paint, black paint, black paint. You can't get that stuff out. And look, whenever you get a bunch of junk inside of you, you can't get it out. I can't get all the filthy, disgusting movies I've seen in my life out. I can't get all the weird.
Fortunately, I'm so bad at lyrics that I can get a lot of the evil songs out of my head, okay? I'm so bad at lyrics, the songs that I know the best ever, I still can't sing, okay? I don't know why. But other things, I mean, the tune I can't get out. I got that tune deep down, you know? Weird songs, you know? Songs that I hate. I mean, Miley Cyrus, you know? Backstreet Boys. I mean, stuff that I wish I'd never heard of in my life. It's in there. It's that black paint, and you're just like, get out, you know? I mean, you don't want this junk in there. You don't be deceived. And then people think, oh, man, I don't know why I feel so depressed, and I feel so anxious, and I feel so mad all the time. It's like, well, what are you filling yourself with? Are you filling yourself with Fox News and Alex Jones? Look, Alex Jones doesn't make anyone happy. Unless you're just laughing at him. I mean, that could make you a little happy, okay. But I'm just saying, like, in general, if you actually care about what he's saying or you think about what he's saying, it's really depressing. Really horrible. And if you just read the Bible, like, there's a couple chapters that are like, the Antichrist is going to come in power. Okay. I don't need a follow-up every day about that happening. It's going to happen, okay? I want some other verses in the Bible, you know? I want to read about some victories, you know, some spiritual things that are going on. Look at the next verse, 34. Awake to righteousness and sin not, for some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. He's talking to a church, and he's saying, it's embarrassing that people are in your church and they're not even saved. Think about this. When we knock on doors and they're like, I go to Grace Baptist Church, and they think that going to heaven is being a good person, isn't that embarrassing for that church? Can you imagine if people were knocking on our doors? I go to Steadfast Baptist Church. What do you have to do to be saved? I don't even believe there's a God. Whoa, what does that church teach? You know? Well, more important than that, I believe in the flat earth. Let me show you my map. What could be more embarrassing than having a church where everybody's more concerned with the flat earth than soul winning? I can't imagine standing before God and God's like, all right, let's go through your role, your membership role, Pastor Shelley. Everybody was a flat earther and no one went soul winning. Yikes. That's scary. That's terrifying. That literally exists sometimes. There's literally churches where they're more concerned with stupid conspiracy theories than actually going out and preaching the truth, the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. Something they could actually be sure of. Something they could know. A conspiracy theory you don't even know. You're just guessing. You're just making assumptions. You're just theorizing about certain events. Look, it's embarrassing when a church doesn't have any soul winners. Talk about embarrassing. And you know what? It's a shame when churches today don't have people reading the Bible. They don't care about God. They don't want to show up. All they are concerned with is carnal things. They don't have a spiritual bone in their body. They don't care what the Bible says, no matter what. That's embarrassing today. We need to be humbled. We need for God's people to start feeling ashamed for not knowing the things of God, for not reading the Bible. You know, I've been in churches that were soul winning, and someone was not saved, and they you know, are talking to somebody there, asking them how to be saved, literally, and they just don't know. They're just like, Pastor Shelley? You know, or so-and-so, brother so-and-so or whatever. It's like, how can you have a King James Bible? How can you be saved and not even know, like, John 3:16? I mean, even if you're not the best soul winner, how could you not just show a cup? I mean, you should be able to get somebody saved. It's embarrassing if you can't get someone saved. There, I said it. If you're saved and you can't get someone saved, you should be embarrassed. Now, look, if you got saved yesterday, all right, you need a little bit of time to work on that. Maybe you could look over a few verses. I've been saved for 20 years and I still can't get someone saved. That's embarrassing. Even more embarrassing, you haven't even tried in 20 years. Well, I've shared a lot of conspiracy theory videos with people. Well, I've taught a lot of people all kinds of things. I taught people how to throw a football. You know, I taught my son how to throw a football, but I didn't tell him how to go to heaven. Isn't that impressive? I took my kid to 300 baseball games this season.
but I never took him to church. I taught my kid how to run and jump. I taught him how to overuse his body so that when he gets in high school, he's going to have a season-ending, a career-ending injury, and he's going to be have bolts in his knees for the rest of his life, and he doesn't know anything about the Word of God, but at least he really enjoyed playing baseball for a few years. At least he enjoyed playing football for a few years. At least he got a lot of concussions. At least I took my daughter and she could hit a softball, you know, 20 feet. And mostly strike out. I mean, it was really impressive. And she got to play with lots of lesbians on her team. I mean, where are the priorities of America? You know, when I would drive to the old building, there was like a baseball field. Every Sunday morning, hundreds of people at the baseball field on Sunday morning. Hundreds. Hundreds of Americans. And you know what? They're all sitting there like, oh no, what about these vax mandates and blah, blah, blah. Well, you know what? Baseball isn't going to fix it. Right. Tom Brady isn't going to fix it. Aaron Rodgers couldn't care less. He's an atheist. Why are you so, I'm so concerned. When's football on? You're not concerned. You're a joke. You're pathetic. America is an embarrassment. It's embarrassing if we're a Christian nation. There's nothing Christian about us. We don't have a Christian bone or body anymore. You want to make America great again, you got to make it Christian again. And if you actually want to make an impact, get someone saved. Go to Luke chapter 18. Go to Luke chapter 18. What was the recipe? Humble, pray, seek the Lord, turn from your wicked ways. Most important thing, humble yourself. Because the other stuff is just going to follow. And you know, humble means to lower yourself. What was the next one? Prayer. Think about this. How about you get on your knees? That's pretty humbling. And pray. Well, you know what I did? I wrote a letter to the governor. Why don't you get on your knees and ask the God of the universe, the governor of the universe, if he could do something about it? Well, I just can't believe people are emailing the governor, and they're not emailing our local city council, and they're not asking all the reprobates in our country to fix it. I can't believe it. Why would I waste time? Why don't I get on my knees and pray to the God of the universe, the Lord of lords, and the King of kings to do something about it? Why can't America get back to praying? Look at Luke chapter 18, verse 1. And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not faint, saying, there was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. There was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, avenge me of mine adversary. And he would not for a while. But afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God, nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? You know, that's a sad ending to this parable. He says, hey, God's ready to answer your prayer. God's ready to fix all your problems. God wants you to be prosperous. God will avenge you speedily. But is God going to actually find faith on the earth? Or are we going to walk by sight? Well, I don't see how we're going to fix it unless we get our governors on our team. I don't see how we're going to fix it unless we fix the voting integrity. I don't see how we're going to fix it unless we fix all these carnal things. I don't see how you're going to fix it unless you get on your knees and pray to God. That's how I don't see you're going to fix it. Why? Because I see by faith, not by sight. And you know what? I believe that God could make America great again tomorrow. Tomorrow. God could make America great again tomorrow. You say, how? If every Christian would get on their knees tonight and would beg God to forgive us for not being humble, for not seeking him, for not getting right with him, for not going to the right church, for not serving the Lord, for being filled with all kinds of sin and iniquity in our nation. Look, God could do a miracle. God could do all kinds of different things. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come under repentance. God is so long-suffering. But will men have faith today? You know, instead of just believing you're doomed, in every category and every area of your life that the end times, you know, are going to be around the corner. Why don't you have faith that God could perform a miracle? And look, I think it's important to realize that we're doomed carnally, and I've preached that, so that you could realize the only cure is spiritually. There is no fixing it carnally. It's so damaged, you know, it's already been bent. You can't make that straight, which God has made crooked. Bags can't get saved. Okay, there you go. For sake of time, I'm not going to go there, but Daniel chapter 9, one of the longest prayers in the Bible. You know what Daniel's doing? He's getting on his knees and he's saying, we've all sinned. We've all done wickedly. Forgive us. Please give us mercy. Please spare us. You know when he prayed that at the end? He's like basically understanding the 70 years are going to be accomplished, and then he's praying that at the end. And then guess what happens? Oh, a miracle happens, and they all return back into the promised land. And you know what that prayer was aimed at? Where we started with Solomon's house of the Lord being built, and he gave the recipe saying, if my people, which are called by my name, humble themselves, pray, and seek the Lord, and turn away from their wicked ways, then he was going to hear, and then he was going to heal their land. You know, no one's taking the issues that we have seriously. And you say, how do you know that, Pastor Shelley? Because God's house isn't full. Because people aren't getting on their knees and begging and praying. And people aren't seeking the Lord. You know, when's the last time someone, instead of buying storable food, fasted and prayed? You're so worried about food that you're going to buy 25-year storage life food for years instead of skipping a meal, fasting, and getting on your knees and praying that God would spare our nation, that God would protect you, that God would provide for you. Hey, I'd rather be on my knees with lentils in the shelf only, fasting and praying to God, than having all of Alex Jones' crappy storable food lined in the shelves and not praying to God and not fasting and not seeking the Lord. When's the last time someone wept for our nation? He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed. You know, why wasn't there thousands of soul winners in Shreveport? I mean, if you really want to make a difference in this nation, why isn't there thousands of people going out and preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ? Because you know what I noticed? I've noticed that people that are saved and love the Lord, they're not falling for any of the junk in our nation. They don't believe math is racist. They don't even care about racism. They don't believe any of the junk coming out from the government and from the evil. You know what I noticed? They believe in the conspiracy theories. Republicans don't. They say they're mad that we're not in Afghanistan continuing to fight the September 11th war. And I'm like, you're a deceiver. Go to Matthew 6. The Bible says in Psalms 146, put not your trust in princes, nor in the Son of Man, and whom there is no help. Well, I emailed my governor. Well, good, because there's no help there. Well, I emailed every single person in government. Zero help. Well, you know what I did? I got in their face in the elevator, and I told them off. No help. Well, I think if Trump got reelected president, no help! Well, I think if Ron Paul, no help. I don't care what person you put in office. The only thing that will fix this nation is if all of God's people humble themselves and pray to God and seek the Lord. Because you know what? Even one godly person, I don't care if you put Jeremiah as the president of the United States, it won't fix it unless the people decide to fix it. Evidenced by the whole book called Jeremiah. And you know what it's followed up with? Lamentations. Where he said, you know what? Everybody sucked in my country. Everybody sucked in my land. Everybody didn't care about the Bible. Nobody wanted to serve God. And you know what? One person, while they can make a pretty big difference, they can't spare a whole nation. God even said at other places, he's like, hey, even if Job were here, even if these other righteous guys were, even if Daniel were here, they would only save themselves. You know who got saved? Jeremiah. You know what that tells me? I can't save you. And you can't save me. And you can't save. We need to inspire people's hearts today to wake up and say, hey, I want to make America great again. Okay, then get in church, you bozo. Then start praying the Lord, singing praise to the Lord, reading the Bible, memorizing scripture. How about this verse that everybody knows? Verse 33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. How many people, they're so worried about how they're going to have a job in the future instead of seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness? Well, I dusted up my resume. Well, how about you dust up this resume? Well, I'm seeking for employment right here. I'm seeking provision for my family right here. I'm so worried, Pastor Shelley. Oh, you're not reading the Bible. For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of sound mind. Look, all of our I believe this 100%. Every single problem in America could be solved instantly if every saved person would just start serving God. That's all it would take. But how many people are advocating for that? How many people are getting in line and compelling people to get into church and read the Bible and to start serving God as opposed to, well, sign this petition and look at this email, look at this. And look, I'm not against exposing the evil out there because sometimes it wakes people up to the fact that you're screwed, okay, that the politicians aren't going to fix anything. And honestly, instead of picking on all the Democrats, we should start picking on the Republicans. We should start picking on the Libertarians and telling everybody how they're not going to be helpful either. Showing how the fact that what Republican solved the 9/11 conspiracy? What Libertarian solved the 9/11 conspiracy? How many of them are looking into it? How many of them care? How many of them made a post on there like, remember all the fallen at September 11th? You lying snake. You don't care about those people. If you cared about them, you would investigate what really happened. Yeah. Oh, well, you know what? They didn't find the box, the black box or the orange box of the airplanes that blew up in the explosion, but they found the paper passport of the Taliban. I believe that. You don't believe that? Remember all the fallen. They literally murdered American citizens. And they know they did. And they, you know how much they care? Now think about this with me. If they murdered American citizens, why do you think that they won't kill you? And then you're going to literally, let's help them get an office. Did you know that George Bush was a Republican? Well, if we get the Republicans in office, everything will be better. Yeah, maybe they'll just commit mass genocide on American citizens and drag us into wars and kill soldiers. That would be great, wouldn't it? Wouldn't that be wonderful? Well, if we just get Trump in office. Yeah. Oh, the guy that thinks that Caitlyn Jenner is wonderful and thinks that Pete Buttigieg, the faggot with his husband, standing on stage is an awesome couple, power couple. The one who literally sent ambassadors to foreign nations that was an open, flaming faggot? Rick Grinnell? The guy from California? Oh, well, if we didn't have Nancy Pelosi, we'd be better. Oh, do you want the faggot then? Do you want the Republican Rick Grinnell? Woo! Well, it'd be better if we had Abbott. Oh, the Catholic? Oh, it'd be better if we had Ron DeSantis. The Catholic? You're fooling yourself. You're brainwashed by the media. You literally think that Egypt is going to help you, just like all of the children of Israel did year after year. You know, when we read the Bible, it's like, why would they trust in Egypt and not in the Lord while they're wearing a Trump sticker? While they're wearing a Ron DeSantis t-shirt, a libertarian t-shirt. It's like, you're a hypocrite. You're a fool. Look at verse 34. Take therefore no thought for the morrow. For the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself, sufficient unto the day's evil thereof. Instead of worrying about what's going to happen tomorrow, why don't you start worrying about what you're going to do when it's soul winning time or church service next time? Or if you're going to read the Bible today or if you're going to pray today. You know, well, I'm going to run out in the wilderness and I'm not going to take the vax and I'm not going to get a mask and I'm going to save this country. You're saving nothing. You're not even saving yourself, buddy. Hey, when Urijah ran and hid in Egypt, they went and found him down there in Egypt and brought him out and killed him. And Jeremiah standing in the face of everybody, calling everybody out, they didn't kill him. You can run and hide, but the devil can find you. You know, Jesus didn't say that you're supposed to take us out of the world, but we're supposed to be kept from the evil. Go over to Matthew 6:24. Just flip back a couple verses. No man can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. We're supposed to seek the Lord. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And ultimately, you're supposed to turn away from your wickedness. You know what? You can't serve money and God. So many people, they're more terrified of losing their job than losing their church. They're more terrified of losing their career than losing their church. And you say, how do you know that, Pastor Shelley? Because I've noticed that they show up to work every single time the doors are open, but they don't show up to church every time the doors are open. That's pretty interesting. I mean, do you honestly look at church as serious as your job? Do you take the policies and the procedures of your boss as serious as the policies and procedures of the church? Do you show up at every corporate event and every fellowship event of the workplace, but you don't at church? Are you, if there was an important meeting at church and at work, which one would you show up at the same time? Which one would you pick? You can't serve two masters. You can only serve one. You know, this country is only cares about money. Oh, we should give all our money to these election audits. Why don't you put that money into a gas tank and drive to some neighborhood and preach the gospel? We're going to go, we need to do canvassing and figure out who voted. Why don't we do soul win canvassing? Instead of worrying about your 401k, why don't you worry about your children's spiritual future? I'm so worried I could lose all my investments. Well, you know what? I'd rather be the poorest old man and all my children love God than be the richest guy ever and my kids aren't serving God. Yet, most people, they're so much more worried about their 401k and their investments and their money and their gold and their silver and all the pleasures of this life because they're full of covetousness today. And you know what? America is covetous. You want to talk about probably the worst sin in America? Covetousness. And why is it that America turned away from the Lord? Covetousness. Why is it that Solomon turned away from the Lord? Covetousness. He wanted more wives, and he wanted more money, and he wanted more goods, and all those things turned his heart away from God. Would to God we would just lose all that junk and start serving the Lord. You know what? What does God have to take away from you for you to decide he's more important? Maybe God wants to take your job away from you so you'll make church more important in your life. Maybe God will just take your money and take your goods and take your possessions and take all the covetous stuff that you wanted away from you and say, why don't you serve me for once? Why don't you get serious about God today? It's sick how Christians are behaving in this country by pontificating about how they want to fight and resist and do all this work, but they don't actually do anything spiritual whatsoever. Go to 1 Peter chapter number 4. They're just hanging on to their stuff rather than cleaving to the Lord Jesus Christ. You're mad, Pastor Shelley. I am mad. You know what? And I'm mad at ourselves. I'm mad at ourselves for allowing this junk to happen. I'm mad at Christians not being willing to humble themselves. You know what makes me really, really angry? Not the devil being the devil. Not Democrats being Democrats. Not liberals being liberals. Not the Satan temple worshiping freaks that protest us. And the pagan grove-weaving people protesting us, and the LGBTQ protesting us, and the open atheists and devil-worshipping freaks hating us. You know what makes me angry? When I talk to a person that's saved, and I want to show them something in the Bible, and they say, I don't care. I'm not interested. Hey, let's talk about doctrine. I don't want to hear about that. Be at church. I don't want to go to church. I want to go soul winning. Like, why? I'm not surprised when the devil's the devil. You know what I'm surprised by is when Christians don't care about the Bible. They don't care about God. Look, do you realize if you're saved, you're going to spend eternity with God?
Eternity. Forever.
Forever. I don't care about that. I only care about now, which is meaningless and worthless and can be taken away from you tomorrow. It's so silly. It's so stupid. It's junk. It makes no sense today. The apathy in this country today. But you know where the apathy is coming from? It's because people are so full of all the junk the world has to offer. All of the sports. I mean, look, there's so much sports. You have TV shows dedicated to sports 24/7. That's how many sports we have. ESPN. We have so much, they had a second channel. ESPN2. And the Ocho. I don't know if that's real or not. You have a dedicated channel called NFL Network. I love to watch the NFL Network in the past. Golf Channel. You could watch golf all day. You could fill yourself on sports. You could, if you want to watch a show about new houses and decorating houses and making them all pretty and all the different things you can improve your house, look, you can improve everything at your house. Everything could be better. If you want to learn about cars, you want to learn about trains, there's a train show, okay? I mean, there's all kinds of stuff. You can just fill yourself on junk and vanity and foolishness and nonsense and just whatever you want, whatever your heart desires. I mean, you can just say, I just want more and more and more. I even want to go to sleep with the TV on. I want to have headphones on every second of my life so I can just listen to music just all nonstop, just on repeat. And, I just listen to all this music. Ah. They're just so full and they're so fat spiritually because they're just feeding the flesh and feeding themselves and just have so much. And it's like, do you want some Bible? No, I'm good. Oh, I'm just so good. I'm just so gorged on all the pleasures of this life and the pleasures of this world. And don't take it away from me. They took away football last year. You know, they took away some of the college games. They took away some of the baseball stuff. They took away, what am I going to do? I don't know. How about read the eternal word of God? Hey, I didn't take away church from you. You could have still showed up to that. Oh, I'm just going to wallow in my own self-pity because I'm just fat on all the junk of this world. And you know what? They're just hooked up to an IV called the world, and they don't want anything to do with God. And we need to rip that IV out of people, and you know what's going to hurt a little bit, and tell people to start serving the Lord Jesus Christ. Wake up, America. You want to make America great again? Get someone saved. Read your Bible. Get on your knees and pray. Show up at church. And don't get in my face and tell me I'm not doing anything when you're doing nothing spiritual. You hypocrite. You're a fool. You're an idiot. Moron. And we vote the right people in office. I don't care who you vote in office. The midterm elections are coming up. Well, you better go out there and start canvassing. You better get your Trump sticker out. You better get a billboard. You know, the only real billboards out there, sodomitedeception.com, they get ripped down, okay? 1 Peter chapter 4, look at verse 3. For the time past of our life may suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles when we walked in lasciviousness, lusts, excess of wine, revelings, banquetings, and abominable idolatries. You know what he's saying? He's saying, you've watched enough football, guys. You've drank enough beer. You committed enough fornication in the past. You had enough adultery. You had enough lying and stealing. You did enough wicked stuff. You did enough foolish stuff. It's enough. It should suffice you. You had your heyday. He's saying, verse 4, where they think it's strange that you run not with them to the same excess of riot. So saying the world's going to be like, why aren't you doing all the same things you used to do? Because it's pointless. Because it's stupid. Because I want to save America. Verse 5, who shall give an account to him that is ready to judge the quick and the dead? For for this cause was the gospel preached also to them that are dead, that they might be judged according to men in the flesh, but live according to God in the spirit. But the end of all things is at hand. Be therefore sober and watch unto prayer. Watch unto prayer. We should be paying attention to this world, and it should cause us to say, I need to pray more. You know, when we think about verses that tell us to go to church, it says, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but so much the more. When you see evil happening, you know what your thought should be? More church. More prayer. More reading the Bible. More humility. We're obviously not humble. We need to start serving the Lord. You know, the Bible says redeeming the time because the days are evil. And we're supposed to be proving what the acceptable will of the Lord is. And I'll tell you what it's not. It's what the world's doing. If you see yourself linking arms with people that are not saved, the wrong fight. Well, you know what? I know he's a Catholic, but he makes a lot of good points. Wrong. Well, I know he's a Jew. You know what? That Ben Shapiro's a sharp cracker. He's a lying, deceiving antichrist, my friend. Well, I think our country would be great if Ben Shapiro was the president. My wife's a doctor. I believe in abortion because I'm pro-libertarian. He's not going to fix anything. He's just going to usher in the Antichrist funeral. Look, if Ben Shapiro became our president, I wouldn't be surprised if the temple was built that year. I mean, talk about bringing in the Antichrist, literally. I mean, people are so foolish today to think that they can link arms with fags and with Republicans and with all the Catholics and the Episcopalians and all these people and think that they're going to do anything positive for you. Stupid. You're stupid if you think that. The only cure is the Word of God. And look, I don't know if what's going to happen. If you truly believe and you have faith that God can restore this country, the only way it'll happen is if we see God's people getting right with the Lord. And I'll say this, buckle up if people don't. Buckle up when people aren't getting into church. Buckle up. I mean, all those people that are sitting there watching, you know, sermons online, they're like, I don't know if you should have said all that, Pastor Shelley, because you might get banned on YouTube. Well, guess what? All the people here got to hear it. Oh, no, they might ban my YouTube channel. I'll still preach it. Well, then how am I going to hear it when I'm eating chips off my chest? You don't get to. You have to actually show up at church, my friend. Well, the live stream glitched at one point. It didn't glitch in person. That's really hard to find the sermons. It's really easy when you show up. Well, it's really hard to catch up on all the sermons. It's not when you leave church because you're already caught up. And let me tell you, I'm really mad at all the people that are saved and have been to our church and they're not in church this morning for a legitimate reason. I mean, if you're sick, stay home. But if you're just staying home because you just want to stay home, God's mad at you and you're destroying America. You're what's wrong with America. If you're saved and you're not going to read your Bible this week, you're destroying America. If you're saved and you're not going to go soul winning, you're ruining America. You're destroying America today. If you're not going to actually pray and seek the Lord and humble yourself, and you know what? If you have all that right, but you're not willing to give up your sin, if you're not willing to give up your worldly ways, you're destroying America too. If you really care about America, get serious about the things of God. And you know what? All these other saved Christians that are just a bunch of keyboard warriors are destroying America. And they're ruining America. I would just take all of my online preaching down if it wasn't for the sick people. Those are the only people I want to listen to my sermons online. I mean, if you live in like Cameroon or something and you have no church, okay, listen, I guess. I don't care. You know what? I want people to be in church on Sunday morning and serving God somewhere on Sunday morning and going soul winning. I got to catch up on sermons in the afternoon. Why don't you go preach the gospel? And you say, well, I don't like Pastor Shelley's preaching. I got to catch up on some good sermons in the afternoon. Well, then go to that church so then you can go soul winning in the afternoon. But quit being a zero for Christ because you're literally the problem with America. You know who's not the problem with America? Joe Biden. You know who's not ruining America right now? Joe Biden, Kamala Harris, Nancy Pelosi, they're not America's problem. None of these people are America. You know who's America's problem? Christians. God's people. God's people are destroying this nation. God's people have turned away from the Lord. God's people don't care about the things of America. And you know what? They need to wake up if you really want to make America great again. Let's close in prayer. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for giving us the recipe for revival and success and prosperity. And we understand that at the end of the day, you just want our hearts. And as God's people turn their hearts to other things, money, covetousness, sin, filth, smut, the whore, whatever it is that they turn their heart to, that you're willing to take that away to get their heart back. I pray that you would just wake Christians up today, that you would shake their heart, that you would instill the fear of God into their life today, that they would realize that the only cure is serving God, that people need to start taking Christianity seriously. If they really think they're in the end times, what could be more needful than to take the Lord Jesus Christ seriously right now? I pray that you would just wake people up, that you would fill them with the Holy Spirit, that you would give them a zeal of God today that's unparalleled, that you'd give them the peace of God that passeth all understanding, that you would humble us in our hearts today, that we'd see our need to serve God. And if possible, that you could have a true revival where God's people would start serving the Lord once again in this nation. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.